We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day and welcome back. How are we looking? Bill Michaels Show. On the air, I'm Bill Michaels. You can hit us up on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, @RadioJoeSports. You can find us over on the Facebook fan page. Track us down there as well. Or simply go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's the website. And then also, in addition to that, you can find us on the Radio.com app if you choose to do so there. That's Radio.com. Let's do this. We'll bring in Paul Emig in just a minute. Want to remind you that our good friends over there at Bud Light, they want to remind you that we're only a week and a few days away from Wednesday Night Live opening up yet again at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion. Cannot wait as Rebel Grace takes the stage a week from Wednesday night on the 29th. That is when we finally get going again. Hopefully it's warm out with the summer concert series. That is Wednesday Night Live at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. All right, let's bring in Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Bill. Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you went the other day, you went to the Bucks game. I do want to touch on that because you saw a hell of a win.
Yeah, Friday night was crazy, and I, you know, one of the tweets I shared that night, and I know I actually saw as I was scrolling through my mentions that Radio Joe retweeted it and kind of said my thoughts exactly. What I said, Bill, was that like it's difficult to wrap my head around the fact that, you know, when something happens where you can't get out of the first round for 18 years, and then you're up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, it's a lot to digest. It's a lot to process. So when you're watching a game like that, and I mean, at one point in the second quarter, you're like 65-38. And I kind of said something to the effect of like, this just feels easier than it's supposed to. And I know some people took that to mean like, oh, well then they lost last night. I'm like, I'm not saying easy, like Toronto's not a really good team or that this was going to be a sweep. I never thought this was going to be a sweep, but it just, it was further emphasis, you know, seeing it in person and watching the way it was, where like when the Bucks are clicking, and they are just a really, really difficult team to beat. And I think what's more fascinating than that is they weren't very good in game one, and they won. They weren't very good last night and went into double overtime. Like, even when they're not good, they can have, you know, they can put a really good team like Toronto, still beat them or go to double overtime with them, even when Giannis fouled out early in the game. So, you know, I'm not going to deviate from you know, the thought that this is a Bucks in six, Bucks in five type of series, that was always my thought. And then Golden State becomes the next challenge. But, yeah, it was a really great game on Friday. Obviously, last night I think was certainly, like, you know, a disappointment. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know how, like, you know, aggressive you were in your predictions. But I never thought it was a sweep type of series. I thought it was a five or six game series. And what I saw last night doesn't change that for me.
No, I said Bucks in five. And I thought, yeah. I still think that. I still think it'll be Bucks in five. I think that I didn't expect the Bucks. I guess my argument is look, I wanted them to sweep, and I wanted them to win last night. I figured they would probably lose one in Toronto. It just, last night was so damn frustrating, maybe for lack of a better term. It was just frustrating. So, but to watch them just beat up on Toronto, and then Toronto giving them their best shot, and the Bucks play as bad as they did, and still come within a few points of winning that ball game. I just thought, you know, the Bucks are going to win it, and I'm just not overly concerned about it right now. I think they just have to play better and more consistent as you get towards the finals, because Golden State won't allow you those escape routes, so to speak. Those won't be there. So that's my concern.
Yeah. I mean, Giannis had, 12 last night, Middleton 11, Bledsoe 11. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's something like that.
Yeah.
Where the three guys that most people look to as their three best players had a total of like 34, 35 points. You went to double overtime, you know, in that scenario on the road in a must-win game for the Raptors, and yet you still got that close. And I think what makes the Bucks so difficult and why I legitimately think they could be the NBA champion this year is game one was the Brook Lopez game. Who saw that coming? I mean, he had a very good
right.
regular season, but, like, you know, this is the Eastern Conference Finals. Game two, Ersan Ilyasova is on the podium. What? Like Ersan Ilyasova, you could tell already in the second quarter, that this was going to be an Ersan podium game. And then last night again, even though it was in a loss, like, George Hill went nuts again. So you just have so many guys outside of your top three players, you know, who are on a different night stepping up in a major way, even in losses. And I think that should be, you know, encouraging to the Bucks fans who maybe lost a little bit of their confidence last night seeing a loss.
I do want to talk some Packers football, and you've got, again, another OTA getting underway, another opportunity for these guys to get together. I know that they're talking about opening up some of these to the public. Do you like that concept?
Sure. I mean, these are going to be little tinkers that you see. And a lot of times, too, it depends if they're going to practice outside or inside. And if they're inside the Hudson Center, it's going to be closed off just like it is in training camp when it rains. And if it's outdoors, you know, hey, open it up. Why not? At least it gives some of the young players a little bit of a taste of it. And there's a couple different directions, though, with OTAs that, you know, it's a football practice in May. You know, you want to be careful what you make of it, whether you're the coaching staff or whether you're a fan who is able to go. But I think it gives a little bit maybe of a, I don't want to say a game-like feeling, but at least like a training camp type feeling, so that when you show up on July 26th, I think it is this year when they start, it's not maybe as overwhelming for the young players to kind of step onto that and look at the stands be full. And, you know, there's a couple different directions, Bill. You can say, like, what are they really looking to accomplish? Offensive line, I think there's some starting question marks. Can the second-round pick Elgin Jenkins, you know, unseat, say, Lane Taylor? What role does Billy Turner have on the offensive line? I think there's some things you can look at wide receiver, you know, Geronimo Allison versus Valdez Scantling versus Jamon Moore versus Ekwonemi St. Brown versus Jake Kumerow. You know, there's some battles there to be had for position spots. But, yeah, I mean, this is about implementing a new system with Matt LaFleur coming in offensively. It's about Mike Pettine being able to implement some of what he probably wanted to do last year and couldn't, just because of the personnel differences now with Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, you know, guys who are just freak athletes with a much bigger body type. And, you know, trying to get that implemented early so that training camp, which, again, I mean, if you go back to the mid-90s and the Roy Butler era, how different it was and how much more practice time you had back then versus now, it's like 3x less now than it used to be. And so you just have to make such good, valuable use of this time when you have, even though it is only a day.
And you're never going to get two-a-days like they used to have, where you were hitting in both practices. I mean, none of that is ever going to happen again. That's all been collectively bargained out. So I completely agree. Hey, coming out of this, I mean, we used to be able to kind of see who had or who didn't have talent. And you know what? We get a lot from Mike Clemens because he kind of gives us the lowdown as to what they see. But this is not, again, going back to your point, this is not your typical OTA. This is just basically installation. Guys in the right place at the right time. This is football 101 in the Green Bay Packers organization with their new head coach and concepts. And that's all they're trying to do. I mean, do you think that's the right approach?
I think in a lot of ways it has to be, just because it is a new coach. I just think that's, you know, is it invigorating for long-term players like Rodgers, like Adams, like Bakhtiari, like Lindsley, you know, that's, you know, for each individual player to probably answer for themselves. But I think it's like a necessary portion of this. And I was on, I don't know if you're a subscriber to The Athletic, the article by Michael Cohen today, and this kind of hits on a little bit what you're talking about, which is, you know, how many players are on this team now who were not drafted by the Packers, which was an extreme rarity in especially the recent years of Ted Thompson, but also Ted Thompson in general. I think what I saw, I mean, if I was to take a bullet point away from Cohen's piece, it was that there were more not more players on the roster now not drafted by the Packers than there were in the last 3 years of Ted Thompson's reign combined. So, like, it's not just the new players that you've drafted. It's not just about invigorating, you know, your holdovers, your long-term holdovers like Rodgers, Bakhtiari, Adams, Lindsley, et cetera. It's that you have, you know, 13 players on this roster who have been through another team's OTAs,
mm-hmm.
who have been through another team's offseason style and just scheduling, you know what I mean? And so it's not just like, okay, get the system implemented. It's like you almost need to, in some ways, probably undo the training that some of these players have had with other teams. Now, maybe some of the teams they came from, it ended up being quite similar. Maybe it was really different. And so I think, you know, Ted Thompson would never probably answer this question with the level of depth that you would want, but I'm wondering if that was one of the, you know, the turn-on factors for him as to why you want to draft and develop your own people, because you don't want them to have developed bad habits or to kind of have, you know, well, my old coach, you know, I learned this over there, this is how they do, and I prefer doing it that way. That is what you have now. You know, if you have, like Michael Cohen pointed out, like 13 players in that who kind of fit that bucket. I mean, that's even when you have a 90-man roster, that's like one out of every seven players has gone through that with another team. That's
right.
I mean, it's a pretty darn big number, and something that LaFleur is going to obviously, you know, have to also address as he implements his system here in May.
I like the fact that he does say one of the explanations for the buildup of the clutter near the bottom of the Packers roster over the time was Thompson's aversion to signing players who had been drafted by other teams, even after those players were released to become street free agents. This is where Brian Gutekunst has kind of picked up and said, hey, we don't mind. If we got anybody with an experience that we think can help us, we're going to go ahead and bring them in. So there's a little bit of a difference between him and Ted. Good stuff, Paul. We'll chat again later in the week, okay?
And probably another convo for another day, given the time and everything, but I saw a little blurb in the Journal Sentinel talking about how, you know, the Packers are in the back seat right now to the Bucks and the Brewers. And I can tell you, Bill, in my lifetime, I've been in the state my whole life, that has never, I mean, like, you know, I guess in my lifetime that I can remember, which is probably starting in, like, you know, the early, mid-90s. Don't remember what I thought when I was five. But, you know, that has just not been the case. And mm-hmm. So it's fascinating to see, you know, Packers writers starting to recognize that for the first time in decades that the Packers are third in the pecking order of Wisconsin sport. Now, will that be true in September? Probably not, you know,
yeah.
Being a victim of the moment. But fascinating nonetheless when you even for a moment let yourself think, like, really? The Packers might be, like, third right now? But speaks to how quickly and how fast the Brewers and Bucks have gotten on the radar.
Nope, I completely agree with you. Paul, good stuff, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, Bill.
There you go. Paul Emming, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com. He's right, because since I've been here, I got here in 99. The Bucks got good in 99, 2000. In 2001, obviously, they go on to that Eastern Conference run. There was a lot of anticipation for Miller Park, but the Brewers weren't a very good baseball team at that point in time, so the Packers still reigned supreme. We were more geeked about Miller Park than we were about the actual team. So the Bucks were good, the Brewers had some excitement, but the Packers still, at that point, you know, anytime you had Brett Favre stepping on the field, you really felt that you had, you know, a chance. Now, out of the three successful franchises, you're probably looking at Bucks and Brewers. Brewers still having an opportunity. Bucks will be done by the when the Bucks season comes to an end. The next nice story you're going to hopefully glom onto is the Brewers, who are right there on the heels of the Chicago Cubs, or maybe even leading the Cubs, and heading for a second straight division title. Meanwhile, they're trying to put themselves back together after falling off the wall the last couple of years. That would be the Green Bay Packers, no doubt. Going to go and take a quick break. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
A little Packers chatter in there, a little Brewers chatter in there, but for the most part, today is, and as long as they're going to be deep into the postseason, it's about this Bucks team, without a doubt. So here's the question: if anything, what did you take away from this this Bucks loss last night, if anything. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. What'd you take away? Anything? Anything you take away from this Bucks loss? Only for the fact that we had talked about it a little bit earlier. I am not concerned about the Bucks getting out of this round. I'm concerned about the Bucks winning a championship. That's all. I'm concerned more about the Bucks winning a championship and the ability. Jeffrey is what I'm afraid of. And Jeffrey writes, hey, guys, I don't know what the concern is. They've taken a lot of steps forward this season. It has been a great run no matter what happens from here on out. This is all icing on the cake. Just enjoy the ride, as you always say. Fear the deer, and if they don't make it to a championship this year, there's always next year with this young up-and-coming team. That is so dangerous. I understand where you're coming from, but you're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. You're going to get everybody's best shot. There's nothing to say that next year there couldn't be an injury or two that changes the direction of this team. You have to strike when you're your hottest. Now this is the fans' mentality. This is not the Bucks' mentality. The Bucks aren't sitting there going, well, we've taken some steps forward. I mean, everybody we've talked to, they're like, no, we want a championship. Nobody even thinks of saying, well, it's been a great run. No. Everybody in that locker room says, we haven't won anything yet. Which is what you want to hear. But there are so many people out there that go, well, you know what? If they don't win, I'm not looking at the season as a failure, okay? My point is, when you're there, you go for it. You don't look back and go, well, you know, okay. You don't already set yourself up for failure. That sounds to me like, and I hate to say the Milwaukee fan or the Bucks fan, but that's because you're waiting for the other shoe to fall. What I'm saying is, what I learned was this team has to be able to say, we cannot get out to slow starts. You know, if I'm Coach Budenholzer, I'm looking at these guys going, guys, can't do this. Can't afford this. Got to value the possession. Got to play better basketball. Let it fly. Be smart about it. But we can't do this. We may get past Toronto. We may get past Boston. Hell, we got past Detroit. But you go down 15 to Golden State, you might as well pack it in. You're not going to come back on these guys. They shoot the ball too well. They've been there, done that. They've won the last 3 out of 4 championships. Come on. Come on, man. So that's what I'm saying I took away from this. You're right there. You're on the cusp of bringing home the trophy, the championship. You don't start thinking to yourself, wow, it's been a good run. No, not at all. Just move on. Keep going. Keep winning. 855-830-8648. They're going to win this series. Hands down. I firmly believe it. I think they're going to win this series. And then they're really going to have to figure things out. And there's got to be a different, I don't know if you want to call it a focus, an energy, whatever verbal adjective you want to throw in there. Golden State will make you take it to another level. They just will. Let's go to Zeke in Stoughton. Zeke, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hi, Bill. I appreciate you putting me on. I complimented to your producer. What a great show you got there. Really even tempered and not your typical sports talk radio whiner. So really enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you. That.
You're welcome. And what you said, your thoughts are simply this. You know, you're more looking to the finals. And nothing changed for me yesterday. Giannis played about as bad as he's going to play. 9 turnovers or whatever he had. And they still almost won at double overtime. So, and Middleton played well. Defensive, I mean, he is. So, nothing new there.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of these people that play fantasy sports and stuff have a little different perspective than I do. I just look at it logically. I mean, a lot of people are not able to beat Golden State. You just previously said before you put me on, they won 3 of the last 4 years, and it wasn't for a great play by LeBron. They probably would have won that one. So, anyway. Right. Nothing's new, and unfortunately, I think we just have to enjoy an outstanding team that is growing for the future, just maybe not at the spot where they're able to beat a really good Golden State team.
Right. No, I completely agree. I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for the compliments. Look, I think the Toronto Raptors have given them everything they can possibly give them. and the Bucks made them barely hold on. And I think the Bucks are going to win this series going away. They struggled with them in game one. They beat the hell out of them in game two. They had a historically bad shooting day in game three, and the Bucks will bounce back and they'll win this thing and get it over with, most likely back in Milwaukee. But I'm already starting to go, okay, I'm almost predisposed to thinking that the Bucks are the Eastern Conference champion. Think about that for a minute. Now, this is where you can, this is where I give you permission to relish the moment and to say, it has been a hell of a season. What a ride. Think about that. They're two games away from being the Eastern Conference champion, and they're going to win it. Make no mistake about it. And they are then heading to the NBA Finals. Finals. Milwaukee is finally going to get the exposure, if they haven't already, that you have been seeking as an alienated fan, as a feeling of disrespected fan. And then the disrespect is going to come tenfold because everybody's going to pick Golden State. Yeah, hell, even Vegas is picking Golden State, with or without Kevin Durant. But they're also saying that the Bucks are the second most likely team in the NBA to win it all. So why not the Bucks? Which should be, it shouldn't be fear the deer. It should be, why not the Bucks? If I'm Coach Budenholzer, you're here. Why not? Let's just win it and get it over with. They've been there, done that. There might be a little bit complacency there. So let's go win it, get it over with, steal the crown, and go. That's my point. Now get back to reality. They got to win two more games. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, where they want to remind you they're teaming up with Summerfest for the Big Gig Giveaway. All you got to do is go to CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway, and there are 11, count them 11, concerts coming to the American Family Insurance Amphitheater during Summerfest, which means you have 11 chances to win. Each VIP concert package includes two tickets, parking pass, gift cards, a whole lot more. 11 people are going to win this one-of-a-kind experience, and one could be you. Enter daily at CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway, and you can experience your best Summerfest ever. That's Cousin Subs, where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Our buddy Steve Novak joined us a little bit earlier. We broke down that game from last night, talked a little bit about what's coming up, and he made the special announcement for Wednesday night in the Milwaukee Basketball Hour. You're not going to believe who the guest is going to be. I'm not kidding. Stay tuned. You got more right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll. And I want these words to make things right. But it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
Welcome back. We continue on reminding you, our friends at Quick Trip, for you over-the-road drivers that are out there, they want to take care of you the best way they possibly can. They now have the Quick Rewards Fleet Card. That's right. They have a fleet card for you now. So if you're a professional driver, get rewarded for filling your tank up with a new Quick Rewards Fleet Card from Quick Trip and Quick Star. You get points for every gallon. You can earn free fountain drinks, coffee, showers, where the amenities are available for anything just starting out at 50 gallons of diesel, CNG, or DEF in 4-time point multipliers. And all you got to do is pick up your card, download the Quick Rewards Fleet app, and you're good to go. Register that card online, and you can track your rewards. And the more you fill up, the more you earn. And like I said, up to 4-time point multipliers. You can learn more about it if you want to take a look into it at quickrewards.com. That's quickrewards.com. And as I had said, amenities, they vary by location. But great stuff over there at Quick Trip. And in addition to that, today only $1 for the Karuba Gold. Any size coffee, only $1. And unless, of course, you obviously have the Quick Rewards Fleet app and you get it for free. Tomorrow, though, those rib sandwiches are back. Save up for that. I'd start fasting right now, heading over to Quick Trip. So earlier today, by the way, I apologize, the Steve Novak interview from earlier, don't have that, but I do want to remind you, Steve made the announcement, Jeremy Lin, plays for the Toronto Raptors. So the enemy coming into Rare Steakhouse Milwaukee coming up on Wednesday night, we're going to have our Milwaukee Basketball Hour featuring Jeremy Lin. So hope to see you down there as a face in a crowd for that, as Jeremy Lin's going to be our guest. But our own Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan, Sports Radio Milwaukee, he is in Toronto. We got him up a little bit earlier today to come on the program with us and join us for a little bit. And after watching the craptastic performance that the Bucks put forward last night, their big three, you know, it had to be a little bit tougher to watch this thing in person the way the Bucks play.
Yeah, how about that? You had horrible performances from a number of guys, namely your star player, the league MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 5 of 16 shooting. Eric Bledsoe, 3 of 16. Chris Middleton, 3 of 16. Nikola Mirotic, 3 of 11. And yet you were still in this ballgame. How the hell did they ever take a two-point lead in the overtime with that many poor performances on the team? And, you know, you had a couple of guys for them playing really well. Powell was playing well off the bench. Siakam did really well, and Leonard, both offensively and his defensive work on Giannis last night. So 20 turnovers by the Bucks. You throw that in the mix, and many things went wrong for the Bucks. Yet still, you were right there, kind of like game one, where you didn't play your best basketball, and you still won by 8, only this time they lost.
Yeah, I became frustrated. Bledsoe's game's on the inside. When he's driving and dishing, that's when he's at his best, and it does open up the outside game. Last night, he struggled. Middleton obviously struggled, and you can almost get it predictable down the stretch when they were going to do the one-on-one, the dribble drive. They dribble out of control, lose the basketball. Turnovers were vital. As George Karl used to say, you don't value the possession. And then we saw, obviously, the Bucks fall, and Siakam, although he did give them life, he came up big down the stretch. So, I guess, look, this is where I turn the page and I say, the Bucks are going to win, you know, game four. They should then come back home and be able to close things out. But the pattern that is emerging that is bothersome to me is they continually, when the starters are in at the beginning of a game, they continue to fall behind. And they do it more often than not. And against a team like Golden State, they will make you pay. You cannot continually do this.
Well, you don't want that 9 and 11 point deficit to turn into 17, 18, 19-23.
Right.
You know, I always say, you know, that first quarter, you just kind of play it through. And if you're down by 11, okay. You know, you don't want to be down by 11, but, you know, you don't want to make it any worse. You don't want to be down by 25. And because there comes a point where you just can't bear, especially against a good team like Golden State or Toronto, you just can't dig yourself out. But the Bucks never got worse than 11 last night, and they stayed with it. They kept plugging away. You know, they'd be down by 7, 8. They'd make a run, get to within 3 or 2, but they could never tie that game up or take the lead. They had two leads in this game, Bill. They had the lead 2-0 to start the game, and they had a lead in the opening couple of seconds of the second overtime. How bizarre. You could play these two teams 1,000 times. You will never see the outcome quite like anything close what happened last night, where it went to double overtime. The Bucks only had a couple leads in this game, yet still took it to overtime, turned the ball over as many times as they did, had their stars play poorly, yet almost won the game.
Last night in the locker room, what was it like? I know that Giannis didn't really want to speak to the media, which kind of bothers me. I know people are kind of giving him the pass, saying, well, he was devastated by the loss. I get it, but you can't. I've always said it. It doesn't matter who it is. You can't stand up there and accept the adulation and then not want to talk to anybody after you have an ugly loss, specifically when you don't perform well.
Yeah, Bill, he did talk. It just took a little longer. After the game, there was probably about 40 of us right in front of his locker. And, Bill, he usually doesn't talk to the media until after. And I'm with you on that, too. You know, hey, it's one thing to be talking when you win a game, but you better be talking in the same way if you lose. And Giannis isn't that way. Giannis, you know, took a shower, came back, so it was about 40 minutes later. Did he make us wait a little bit? Yeah, he did. But that's what Giannis does. You know, it takes him a while. But Giannis had a blank stare in front of his locker, just staring. He had both his feet in ice buckets. He had both of his knees wrapped up, as is always the case after games. And I've seen him many times with that. But I have not seen him with quite the stare that he had on his face last night after the game. Because most of the time we see him after games this year, he's won. But he had this blank stare, and people are looking at him, and he's just staring out in space. And it was just an odd scene. And then, before you know it, he woke out of his blankness and took the bandages off, got up, walked into the shower room, And then we waited for Giannis to come back, dry himself off, get himself dressed, finally turn around, boom, talk. But he did talk. It just took him a little bit to get going.
Yeah, I looked at that team last night. And I thought, boy, I would have loved to have seen George Hill and Brogdon in there a little bit more. I know they were trying to get Bledsoe back into the game, and I get it because Budenholzer's list. Look, I don't know if you saw the drop-in, but TNT had a microphone and a camera in the locker room right after the game, and Budenholzer comes in and says, hey, guys, don't worry about this. You just went double overtime, and you didn't play great. I mean, it was like a historically bad night, and we still went to double overtime. You're going to get this. Don't worry about it. We'll see you tomorrow, that kind of thing, which I thought was really that's pretty much been his, you know, modus operandi all season long, is just stay positive, let it fly, we're going to be good, don't worry. I think he knows the talent on his team, and the Bucks are going to win the series. I just am a little bit concerned about the patterns that are beginning to emerge with this team.
Yeah, falling into the hole, and Budenholzer has done that this season, where they've played a bad game. He's come out and said, you know what, we're just going to burn the tape, as he would say, and move on to the next game.
Yeah.
Nothing really we can do.
That was kind of what he said last night. We're just going to move on.
There's nothing he can do. They played such a horrible game.
Yeah.
And I saw people on Twitter, hey, you know, he needs to light a fire under these guys. It's not what they need. It wasn't a matter of lighting a fire. What are you going to do? A light of fire is going to make Bledsoe shoot better. Lighting fire is going to make Middleton shoot better. Make Giannis make better decisions as far as shooting. Or break through that defensive wall. At some point, you got to give the Raptors credit. They did a nice job defensively. And when the Raptors are making their shots or any opponent makes their shots, Giannis can't get going in the transition game. You know, he can't go the other way. He can't go the other way against that defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened last night. They were making shots, and Giannis could not, you know, how many transition baskets did he have? He probably could count on one hand. Well, he could count on one hand the number of baskets he made because there were very few. There were five of them. So very few in transition. So, you know, it all starts on the defensive end with the Bucks. Many good basketball teams will say, it starts on the defensive end, Bill. They got to get the defense going.
Well, was it me or did it look the same in person to you? It looked like Toronto was just quicker at times than what the Bucks were. I mean, the Bucks. They dribbled out of control a lot of the time, and when it came to the defensive end, they didn't start a lot because Toronto was just quicker and passed the basketball better than what the Bucks did.
Great ball movement. This is the first time this year that the first time in the series that Toronto has moved the ball well on the perimeter. Boom, 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 like the Bucks usually do. Distribute the ball. You know, to quote George Karl there, you did a little while ago, and I'll get another one. George always said, hey, be unselfish with the basketball. Be unselfish with value possession. Be unselfish with the basketball. And that's what Toronto was. They were working around getting good shots, whether it was Siakam or Powell from the corner three, Gasol, Leonard. A lot of players played really well for Toronto last night. I think redemption is in order for Game 4, Bill. You won't see as many Bucks players play as poor, and I don't think you'll see Siakam and even Paul Gasol or Powell play as well as they did on Sunday night.
So there you go. Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, joined us a little bit earlier today. He is in Toronto. So he'll be off today just kind of hanging out in whatever Toronto has to offer on Victoria Day and then back at it again tomorrow night and then back home. But he is live in Toronto and a good clear connection from his hotel room, as a matter of fact. Let's do this. We're going to get ready to take a quick break and wrap things up. I want to remind you, though, our friends over there at the Fisher House, Wisconsin, I mentioned this last hour, and hopefully you're paying attention. But if you're not, don't forget, if you ride a motorcycle or somebody knows somebody who does, Sunday, September 1st, it's presented by Bud Light. It's our motorcycle ride for the Fisher House, Wisconsin. And it's also, in part, presented by our good friends at Stoley's Hog Alley, which is right out there on Venice Beach Road in Oconomowoc. Coldest beer in town. Weekend breakfast, 8 to noon. Best in Lake Country, by the way. And you can explore their new menu. A whole lot of fun new appetizers. And they've got some salad wraps and smoked meats. And they always want me to stress, Jeff and the gang out there, that you don't have to be a rider to go there. It's great if you do, but the place is just a fun corner pub. It's kind of like the Biker's Cheers, but if you don't ride a bike, that's fine. Head on in anyway, because they welcome everybody out there. So head out to Stoley's Hog Alley right out there on Oconomowoc, a terrific place. Tell them we said hi. And also, we are brought to you by our friends at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Don't forget about Craig and Robert and Diane and Jody and everybody out there in the motor clothes department. So say hi to them as well, because they're terrific people and they're a big part of this. So we can't do it without them. So just make sure you stop in and say howdy, because they're going to be out there with us again. Our best Bucks coverage presented by Hupie and Abraham, Robert Hag Diamonds, and the Q Club of Wisconsin as well. It continues on as we take you all the way through the remainder of the postseason with the Milwaukee Bucks. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Wrapping things up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hey, I want to remind you, speaking of the Wisconsin Harley-Davidson people out there, as I was mentioning in the last break, they have the honor celebration happening this weekend at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson in Oconomowoc, open to the public. And if you don't have a ride, that's fine. Come on out and enjoy all the festivities. It starts at 10 a.m. There's live entertainment by the Echoes of Camp Randall, followed by the National Anthem. They're going to have the Warbirds fly over, which should be really cool. They come out of right there at the Waukesha County Airport. And I see them all the time. My house is near there. It's really neat. Be sure to sign up for the Great Wisconsin Cornhole Tournament starting at 11. And the party keeps going with live entertainment by the Hot and Dirty Brass Band starting at noon. Plus, they have food options, a huge beer garden, a lot of vendors, military displays, and a whole lot more. Something for everybody. So stop out. By the way, free admission and free parking. So come on and join me. I'm going to be there. At some point, I'm going to be walking around. So come on by and say hi. But they're going to be heading out to this event coming up Saturday, this Saturday, May 25th, at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, just off of 94. Take exit 282 to Highway 67. Go south in Oconomowoc. And if you want more information, all you got to do is call them 262-569-8500. And I'll give you a little hint. You can stop there if I haven't picked it up already and check out my new Harley. That's right. Picked one up. Went ahead and got it. Just got to go out and get it now. Haven't done that yet. Been too busy and the weather kind of sucks. Going to wrap things up, but getting you ready for tomorrow. The Brewers off today. The Bucks are off today. So you get a reprieve. We'll start getting you ready for Bucks basketball tomorrow night and start breaking that down all over again. And then also get you ready for the Brewers and the Reds. The Reds are coming to town. Cincinnati will be arriving later tonight, and they get you back into some Brewers baseball as well. But, you know, we're going to start talking a lot about the remaining series, if you will, with Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe. And what is the value? What is the value between a guy who is a cornerstone guy in the sense of being a cog, being a friend, being a comrade in arms, if you will, in the locker room, and a comfortable guy alongside versus the output? I mean, it's something to think about, you know, versus what you're actually doing in crunch time. Now, I know that Chris Middleton and people have talked about it, and hell, I've talked about it. His defense on Kawhi Leonard has been pretty solid. But when you're talking about crunch time and guys between him and Bledsoe needing to put up shots and start to spread the floor a little bit, and it's not working, you have to start thinking, okay, in the biggest moments, what is that worth? And you got to think about that. Now, I know the story surfaced today because they're talking about Jason Kidd being a part of this Lakers staff. I don't know if you read this, but there is this rumor that the reason the Lakers hired Jason Kidd was because of his relationship with Giannis, as if somehow he's going to woo Giannis away from Milwaukee and he's going to suddenly head out to L.A. to play alongside LeBron. I'm just here to tell you that ain't going to happen.
Nope.
That ain't going to happen. And two reasons. One is the Bucks are going to lock up Giannis and he's going to have a long-term deal and he's going to stay here. But number two is Giannis has remained committed to Milwaukee, and Giannis loves what Budenholzer's doing. As much as he liked Jason Kidd, he loves what's going on here. And he said, look, I want to remain here as long as we are committed to winning. And so you're going to see another offseason in which John Horst is going to try to work some magic and keep the band together best he can and maybe bring in another piece to add to it. But no. For all the people that are suddenly panicking because this has somehow, some way crept into the mainstream media as some kind of a story, it's crap. It's not going to happen. I'm telling you, like, there's been times I've said throughout this postseason, book it, and I've been pretty right. This, unless things go horrifically wrong and ownership blows up, and it just becomes some kind of an ugly war behind the scenes, and it's just not fun playing in Milwaukee anymore when it comes to the Bucks organization. Giannis will be a Milwaukee Buck for a long, long, long time to come. Jason Kidd is not going to be the tipping factor to get Giannis suddenly out of Milwaukee. I'm just here to tell you, it's not going to happen. So it's something that I guess we can put it on the radar a little bit to talk about tomorrow. But for those that are panicking and buying into this and some of the other crap and gossip that maybe another show or somebody is putting out there, just don't, you know what? Don't buy into that. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. Move on. So there you go. So coming up tomorrow, our buddy Chuck Freeman, again, is live in Toronto, so we're going to get him up. Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com will get his thoughts on what the Brewers have going on in Cincinnati coming to town. Our buddy Jeremy Jeffress, the Brewers reliever, he is going to be here as well. So JJ is going to join us. We'll talk about that bullpen. We'll talk about the pitching over the weekend, and we'll get back into it. And this, you know, Brewers team only a game and a half back, still behind the Cubs, and they're kind of hanging in there. They've been playing some pretty good baseball. Hopefully they can get some home cooking and play some more good baseball. And we'll be anticipating that as well. But tomorrow, as much as we want to talk some Brewers baseball, and I know you got OTAs going on, man, oh, man, oh, man, it is game four coming up. We're going to start to get you ready tomorrow. Bucks and Raptors, cannot wait. Looking forward to it. Until then, time for us to go. Have a go. Sleep.
Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.